do is quickly review the Gemara outside the Gemara that we learned last week, and then we're going to explore a number of issues related to this topic. I know that I asked you, and at least one reminded me that I asked you to please try to look things over during the week, and I hope you had a chance to do so. But I want to encourage you from the beginning, and if you didn't have any chance to do so, then hopefully we will all do just fine this evening. The Gemara that we began last week began with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. So we began on the bottom of the page where the Mishnah described a situation where a person had a pitcher of water that broke in the Rishus HaRabim. Somebody trips on the water. Or he became injured with the shard, with the pieces of pottery. And the Mishnah paskins that, at least according to Tanna Kamma, in all circumstances, the one who left the water in the street is going to be chayiv. He's going to be chayiv because of the fact that it was his pitcher that broke, his water that spilled, and presumably he didn't make any effort to clean it up or to take the necessary precautions to see to it nobody should get hurt. Now, when we read this Mishnah on our own, so we made the assumption, as most would, that what happened over here was the water fell on the floor, a passerby came, slipped on the water, and as a result, he fell, he broke his arm, he broke his leg, he cut his knee, something like that happened. Comes along the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, and the name of Rav, not like you thought, Lo Shanu El Shetinfu Kela B'mayim. What is the mission teaching? The mission is teaching about a situation where the guy stumbled upon his water, he stepped in the water, he slipped on the water, whatever the case is, and as a result, his clothing became soiled in the water. But not as we thought that he got hurt. Avalhu Asmo Pater. Why? Because Rav says, Karka Olam he's Hazikaso. Because in that case, all that really hurt him was the ground itself. And Rashi explains that this relates to Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, which we actually saw, which is found later on in the Daf Mem Tesama days. Rav and Shmuel have a fundamental disagreement regarding Bor in general. The fact that the Torah teaches in Parshas Mishpatim that a person is chayav to pay for damages which he causes because of the pit that he leaves in the street. So what is it about the pit, what is it about the Bor that makes him liable, that creates that liability? Either it's, as one opinion of the Gemara says, it's the hevel, the fact that when an animal falls into a Bor, normally there's going to be, it's going to be a narrow space, and there's going to be a lack of air, and a suffocation which the animal suffers is going to cause the premature death to that animal, and that's the reason why I'm chayav to pay. That's one opinion. That's Rav's view. The other opinion is Shmuel, and Shmuel says no. You're chayav to pay for damages caused by your bor, either because of the hevel, because of the suffocation, but even if not, the fact that there's that chavata, the impact that the animal is going to have when he falls into the pit, so that alone is enough to make you chayav. Rav understands that that's sort of like a grumma. In other words, Rav says, you created the hole, you didn't create the ground, the ground was there beforehand. So therefore he says, you're not going to be chayav to pay, you wouldn't be chayav to pay for the damages caused by the ground itself. As the Gemara uses the expression here, karka olam. Now I explained to you last week, as far out and as strange as that seems, we're going to have to wait till we get to Daf Mem Tesama Beis to explore that in depth, but Rav bases his understanding on a pasuk. So, in other words, it is acceptable to try to understand it logically. But if it seems almost so illogical to call that a grumma, so Rav bases that on a pasuk. But the fact of the matter is, Rav holds that the bor is primarily that the liability associated with the bor is because of the havla, because of the hevel, the suffocation factor. Where Shmuel says it's a question of chavata. So applying that back to our sugi over here. So Rav Lashitase has to say that we're not talking about a situation where a person fell on the water, slipped, and then hit himself on the ground, because then it's the ground that caused the damage, not the water. So therefore, Rav has to say that we're talking about a situation where his kelim, maybe his clothing, became dirty on the water, and the Baal HaBor, in this case the Baal HaPitcher, that broke and spilled the water, he's chayav to pay because he didn't clean up the mess, and now the guy's suit is all dirty. Yes. No, so clearly, no one could deny the fact that the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, Yichra bor, when a person digs a pit or he opens a bor, he's chayiv. So, you know, you can't outsmart the Torah. The Torah says you chayiv for a takola and it's just a rav, a hole. But you are permitted to try to understand why. You know, what is it about the bor that the Torah holds me responsible? Why do I need to know that? Because we need to apply to other situations where it's not the prototypical case that the Torah describes, namely a hole in the ground. The difference is a situation like this. The difference is a case like this. No, in other words, there is a case where there's a hole in the ground. That's exactly what the Gemara asked. The Gemara said, Lamainas Kamina. In other words, the bottom line is, the animal falls in and dies. So the Gemara asked that question. We saw last week, there were different explanations. One answer was, what happens if you make a tail? You remember, there's an elevation on the ground. Or it's supposed to set up the animal falls in backwards. Or if it's a wide pit. You can come up with situations where Rav and Shmuel, it's not just a conceptual machlokes, but there are real practical differences. In this case, it was for sure over here, we were talking about water on the ground, and it was the spillage that caused the person to fall. So Shmuel has no problem saying the guy hit the ground, literally. Shoot the Kamash Shmuel. The Mishnah says the guy falls on the ground, and he breaks his leg. Shmuel says, I got no problem with that. Rav is the one who has to say, no, you can't explain it that way, because after all, Karka Olam. Therefore, Rav says, talk about a case where his suit gets dirty. The Gemara, as you remember, presents Rabbi Yehuda, presents this to Shmuel, and Shmuel says, no, that can't be. He doesn't agree. And he says, you know, I don't understand Rav's opinion. Because Rav wants to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the kalim, the clothing of the guy who fell, were damaged. So Shmuel says, Rav's opinion notwithstanding, that doesn't make any sense. Because the din is that when the Torah says you're liable, you're chayv to pay for damages caused by the boar, there is a special exception to that. And what's the exception? Kalim. The din is that when a person falls in, when an animal falls into a pit, so the animal falls into the pit, you're chayv to pay for the damages. If kalim fall into the pit, or if let's say there were kalim on top of the animal that broke, you're putter. That's a special exemption that applies by boar only. So says Shmuel, Shita's Rav doesn't make sense over here in the Mishnah. Because if you're going to say that the Mishnah, what's the Mishnah talking about, a situation where the kalim are ruined, kalim, there's an exemption of kalim when it comes to boar. So therefore, the Shita doesn't make sense. So the Gemara went on to answer, no. That Rav will explain, when do I say, says Rav, or when does the Torah say, that a boar that a person creates and leaves in a restricted Rav is going to only be liable for animals or for people who don't get killed, but it will not be for kalim. That's only a situation where what? Where he was mafkir the boar. But Rav says, the Torah's example of boar is only in a situation where you are mafkir, right? I dig a hole in the street and I walk away. I have no intention of going back. Or I leave a package in the street, in a place where someone can get hurt, and I leave it there. That's called a boar, and that's where the Torah says, okay, yechayiv only for shor below kalim. Or shor below adam, chamor below kalim. However, in a situation where you are not mafkirit, so therefore Rav has to say, and we discussed this last week, why this would be, Rav has to say, we're talking about a situation where you intend to reclaim the water over here. In other words, he was not mafkir the water, he intends to try to clean it up, to use it for some personal use, so then it's still yours. If it's still yours, it's not bor. What is it? So what did the Gemara call it? What did the Gemara call? The Gemara didn't call it Eish. The Gemara said, it's his mammon. What's his mammon? Well, what does it mean? Literally, mammon. It means his money, it means his property. It means he owns it. So it's mono, so for, so what? So we said last week, probably what the Gemara means to say is therefore it's short. And this is what we're going to be discussing a little more this evening. But again, just to summarize the sugya, we had a machlokes Rav and Shmuel as to what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says the guy falls on the water and he gets hurt. Shmuel learns the Mishnah in the most simple way, the way most people would read the Mishnah. The guy falls on the water and he breaks his leg. Shmuel says the balamayim is chayav to pay because again, it is his boar in the street and someone got hurt. Rav says no, you can't say that that's so because that's what's called karka olam. The Torah says the chayav to pay only for the havla but not for the chavata, for the impact. So therefore Rav says we're talking about a case where he steps on the water and his suit gets all dirty. Chayav to pay for kalim. Shmuel says, why should they be chayv to pay kalim? Isn't there a special exemption when it comes to kalim in a situation of bor? The Torah's obligation, the fact that the Torah imposes an obligation upon the Baal HaBor does not apply to kalim. if any vessels, or in this case clothing, are ruined in a pit, you're not chayiv to pay. So Rav Smet says, no, that's only by trubor. What's trubor? Trubor is a situation where you're mafkir, where you have relinquished all ownership over the takala, or over the bore, over the hole in the street. That is a drusha of a pasuk, right? We saw last week, and it's actually found over here in the Gemara. The Torah says if a shor or a chamor falls into the pit, and Chazal say shor, chamor, what about any other animals? Chazal say this is not an exclusive list. It refers to all balei chayim, but with two exceptions. Well, two categories of exceptions. Shor v'lo adam, that if a person falls into a pit and dies, then the balei bore is not chayiv. If a person falls into a pit and gets injured, then the balei bore is chayiv.
That doesn't make any sense.
Why? And we went into this last week. I don't want to get into it now. It does make sense if you understand. In other words, first of all, I'll tell you why it does make sense. Because the fact that the Torah ever says you have to pay for the loss of a human life is a chiddush. You would think you could pay for the life of an animal for an animal. You can pay for a kelim. You can't pay for a person. We're not going to pay. So here in America, they put price tags. You know, how much was the guy worth? You know, how much would he have earned? So the guy was worth $1 million, five, ten. From the Torah's perspective, you can't speak about nezek when you're dealing with loss of a human life. You can speak about kofar, and there is a payment of kofar in very specific situations. But over here, there is no payment of kofar. I don't want to get into right now why it's not adam. Let's focus on a kelim. The other drasha over there is shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim. So it's a drasha. It's accepted lahalacha. There is one dissenting view, Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't hold of that drasha. But basically, that's the din by bor. How does Rav get explain the fact that he wants to suggest that kelim get ruined? You're not chayiv to pay for kelim. So Rav will say, you're not chayiv to pay for kelim in a bor that you're mafkir. If you're not mafkir the bor, then you are chayiv. Why? Because that's not bor, that's mamono. That's mamono.
Yes, but if he's doing that, then he's painting himself to another corner in terms of why is he then getting involved with kelim altogether. In other words, he had a reason originally for doing kelim.
He had to say that because karka olam.
Yeah, he had to say that because karka olam vis-a-vis bor.
Right.
But if it's not bor, then why say kelim? It could have been anything.
Right. Very good. Okay. Good. Excellent question. So in order to answer that question and more questions, which we're going to discuss in a moment, let's take a look at the sheet. Now, the first thing on the sheet, I think I don't know if this is what you looked like when you panicked. No, looking at the wrong side. You don't have to look at the scary side. The one with the chart. So the chart, for those of you who were with me 4 years ago, this chart may seem familiar. If you were with me 4 years ago and the chart doesn't seem familiar, I'm not insulted.
Are you saying this year is 4 years old?
Yeah.
Wow.
We began right after Yom Kippur.
That's unbelievable.
Yom Kippur 4 years ago. Yeah. It comes very handy. Very good. So this chart summarizes, it puts in a nice graphic form the Avos Nezikin. It's a nice thing to chazer every once in a while, even though the way it's worked out for us, you know, we can go months and months and months without even saying the word bor. But it's nice every once in a while to remember how this Masechta began, teaching us that there are four Avos Nezikin, Shor, Bor, Mavin, Heder, and Shor we later broke down into three categories, Karen, Shen, and Regel. And we're not going to review all of this right now, but it's important for the purpose of our discussions this evening that we just refamiliarize ourselves with a few of them. When we speak about shore, what do we mean when we say shore? Again, I'm just going to, for 1 minute, just once again go back to the very, very, very beginning. The Torah there's not a pasuk in the Torah that says whenever you're responsible for causing damage, you have to pay. If that was so, then we could just close the Gemara and go home. Wouldn't be need for any discussion. The Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says that in specific cases, you have to pay for damages which you could be held responsible for. And the Torah is very specific. And we use these examples that the Torah gave, and we create out of them categories, these paradigmatic examples, through which we can extrapolate and we can learn and we can apply to other cases. But in situations where a person directly causes damages and we cannot connect it back to one of these, so then there's no liability. And there are such cases. The best example that we speak about all the time is Grubba. Grubba doesn't fit into any one of these. an enormous situation where a person causes damage through grama, and many other perhaps examples as well. So when we speak about shor, so first of all, state the obvious, shor doesn't mean an ox only. Literally, shor means an ox. And the reason why we use shor is because that's Torah's example. But when we speak about shor, it doesn't only mean an ox, it means any livestock, any animal that a person owns. If a person owns an animal, he's responsible for that animal. Not only to see to it that his animal doesn't kill anyone else, but even to see to it that his animal does not destroy anyone else's property. And we see in the Torah three distinct categories of damages that can be done by an animal. One is what's called keren, and keren, as you recall, is literally goring. It means a horn, but we apply this to all aggressive behaviors an animal may do, including biting and kicking and shoving and pushing. All of these things are what's called keren. Shein is when an animal goes ahead and eats someone else's property, and he does so not because he's being violent or aggressive, but he's doing so for his own satisfaction, his own enjoyment. The animal's hungry, so he doesn't know what belongs to his owner, what doesn't. He doesn't care. He just goes ahead and he sees food and he starts chewing. That's called shein. And the last one is what's called regel, where the animal is not doing anything for its own pleasure, nor is it acting in an aggressive way, but animals are clumsy, and animals, because of the way they carry themselves, very often cause damage just because of the way they move. So for example, regel means if an animal is walking, and if I bring an animal through your property, right, bring an ox through your house, and when he walks through your house, he knocks over, you know, bookcases and china, and everything starts falling on the floor, I can't say, well, I didn't know this was going to happen. That's called regel. You have to expect that when an animal walks, it's going to knock things over in its way. It's not necessarily going to walk around something that it could just easily step over. That's what's called keren, shein, and regel. Bor, as we know, is the case we're discussing. A person digs a hole in the street, or he leaves a package in the street. And then there's eish, where a person lights a fire and leaves it unattended, and it causes damage. We'll leave Adam out of the picture right now. Adam Amazik, obviously, is a person responsible for his own actions. Now, each of these categories, as you see, they appear in the top line. Keren, Shein, Regel, Bor, Adam, and Eish. Each of these categories have what's called toldos, which means subcategories, which the Gemara discusses. We learned all this in the first parak. And then they have certain unique characteristics which help us define what exactly these avos nezikin are. So, for example, we define keren as being kavanas lahazik, which means the animal's intent, the nature of this damage was caused by aggressive behavior. Shein is the animal does something which it derives pleasure from. Regel is something which is very common. Bor is something which was created originally as a hazardous entity. And eish is something which has another koach, usually wind, but has another force which mixes up with it, which enables it to cause damage. And they also have characteristics for kula, which means things that mitigating factors. Keren is not mu'ad mitzilasa, which means a shor is not normally not aggressive, a normal animal. So therefore, it takes a while for an animal to develop into a shor mu'ad. A boar, a mitigating factor when it comes to boar is the fact that it doesn't move. It doesn't have any life. It doesn't move. And the only way a boar can cause damage is what? The victim has to come to the boar. So it's a chiddush that the Torah says a chayv to bor b'yor. And finally, you have the special halachos which apply to each category. Keren, of course, the first three times you think chashi nezek. Shein and regel, we know, is an exemption in Rishus HaRavim. Bor, you patur al adam akelim. And eish, for those of you who remember, because I don't think we've seen this in a while, there's a special exemption by tamun, which means that if I light a fire and I do not watch the fire and it burns someone's property, his house burns down. So everything that was, you know, the house, the structure of the house, all of that I'm responsible to pay for. But something that may have been buried or hidden away, so based again on a Gezeiros HaKasav and a special Chiddush from the Torah, I'm not chayav to pay something that was tamun. Not going to get into that right now, but it's a special halacha that applies by Ish. So why am I telling you all this now? So all this is important background for now exploring what we want to discuss this evening. Let's get back. Rav says that you chayiv to pay for the damage that the water causes. Now, it can't be real bor, as Rav admits, because if it was real bor, what? You'd be putter for cable. So what is it? It's not bor. So he calls it mammon. So mammon means, well, it's got to fit into one of these other categories. Let's see if Adam has. It's not Adam, nor is it Eish. It's obviously not Eish. So that leaves us with Shor, right? So on this chart, how many possibilities are there for Shor? Three, Karen, Shem, and Rego. So which one is it? When we say, let's think about this again for a moment. We say that Rav is saying the following, that if you, again, you have a pitcher and it breaks, the water spills out, and you intend to take this water. You're not mafkir. You intend to get it. And then someone comes along and he steps on it. You didn't warn him about it. You didn't put up a sign. He steps on it. He ruins the suit. So now what? You're chayv to pay him. So what is that? Keren, Shein, and Rego. What is it?
Keren. You could say it can't be Shein or Rego because they're part of the Brishos Arayim.
Excellent. Good. So right off the bat, Avi says, without even thinking about it, I'm going to knock off Shein and Rego. Why? Because the Mishnah clearly states what? What's the case in the Mishnah? Mizbrakado versus a Rabu. The Rav can't say that this is Shane or Rego because he puts her. That leaves us with what? Karen. To say that it's Karen may sound appealing. Why would it sound appealing? Well, it sounds appealing in the sense that, you know, it's my property. Just like the animal is my property, the water is my property. The animal causes damage if I have to pay the water. But there's also a problem with just saying it's Karen. Problem number one is there's no kavana. Okay, I didn't want that to be problem number one, but it is a problem. So you could make that problem number one. Problem number two is, which will make that problem number one. No, Karen is kavanas alahazik. You could argue that Karen doesn't have to be kavanas alahazik. Now this is an old discussion we had a while ago. The Karen can also be something which is unusual, something which is. But what's a bigger problem you're going to have with Karen? To say that you're going to be chayv here of Karen, there's a bigger problem.
It
doesn't have to fit any Karen. I mean, this was not an exclusive list. This was when we talk about an animal, so we speak about Neshicha, Negiva, Remitza, Beitza, etc. But you can have others that are not on that list. How much do you pay for Karen?
The Mishnah doesn't clarify that you're paying half,
right?
You'd be doing the first instance.
Right. So you would think that if it's Karen, you would only pay Chatzi Nezek. The Mishnah doesn't say that. Rather, the Mishnah says Chayim. So you can't say that's what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah says Chayim. So the problem is, what is Rav talking about? Rav says Yichad goes into your property. What is it? It's not all. It's not Bor. That's what he said. He don't want to say it's Bor. It's not Eish. So Shein and Regal, it can't be your Padim Rishus Rav. It can't be Karen, because Karen you would pay Chatzi Nezek. So what is going on? So this is Tosfos' question. Tosfos, source number two on the page, in Bava Kama, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. So again, it is in your Gemaras, but rather than have you turn all the way back, I gave you the line right here. Says Tosfos, again, because the Gemara previously had a similar comment, the name of Rav, that a boar that you're not maskir, Rav says that we learn that from Shor. That's Shoro. So says Tosfos, Haina Karen. Obviously, what Rav means to say is it's Karen. The Shein V'Regel Paturin versus Rav. It can't be Shein V'Regel, just like Avi says. Then you'd be Potter. But what about the fact that you're not Chayav to pay Chatzi Nezek? You know, I should have asked you before we look on in Tosfos. I didn't mean to rush it over here. Does anybody want to try to answer this? Because this is something which is answerable without looking at Tosfos. Let's just think about what we're saying for a moment. Karen by an animal, the first three times, there's a concept of tam. You pay chatzi nezek. Now, what's the reason why? Who could remember? Why is it that you only pay chatzi nezek by a shore? Why? Yes, it is. Pagan is mamona knas. It is a machlokes. But the predominant view that we generally follow is why is it that you don't pay full damages the first three times? Strange, right? Your shore, Gore's my shore. Damage is $100. You only have to pay 50. Why? I had an expectation that would not.
No, I had, and
not only that, I had the right to have no expectation that my show would do damage. In other words, the Gemara says, "Stam shvarin lechetke shimur kaimi." That normally a normal shore is not dangerous. It's not aggressive. It's not going to pick a fight. A normal shore. So the Torah allows me, or the Torah understands that people are not going to constantly walk around with a leash around the shore if there's no need to do so. So what happens then? I shouldn't be chayav to pay anything when it steps out of line. It was what's called an ones. So the Torah says, yeah, it's true, but this was what's called a what? It's a knas. To tell you, hey, watch out. There may be a problem here. It's like penalties. It's like when you're speeding on the highway. What does one have to do with the other? They're going to charge me $100. So the idea is it's knas. It means watch out. The second time also it's knas. Third time already, you have a problem on your hands. This animal is now an aggressive animal. So that whole concept of not being muad mitchilaso, not being dangerous, only applies by where? By an animal. Where it only applies in the classic carrion case. But you could say that when it comes to this situation, Rav is going to teach that even though I'm saying you're learning it from Shor, in other words, I'm learning it from Karen, I'm not going to apply the concept of Tam and Muad by a spillage of water. Tosa says about Avnu Sakino, when you're dealing with the package, even an Evan or a Sakino or in our case water, there's no reason to distinguish between Tam and Muad. The only time you can make such a distinction is by living animals. But when it comes to an animal, so you could say the first couple of times, who would have expected this? When you're dealing with a puddle of water, so I mean it's pure statistics. There's nothing. You don't say the first three times someone steps in the water. That's ridiculous. Either it's dangerous or it's not. So Tosa says once Rav says Yechayev al Karen, Yechayev completely right away. In other words, it's muad mitchilasa. It's muad mitchilasa. And in fact, I'll take your question in a moment. But the Rashi in the next source even clarifies, and I'll just say it outside, but clarifies it even further. And what he says is that since when people are walking is a muad behavior. Just walking is a muad behavior. And not necessarily noticing something like, again, a puddle of water or something like that is also muad as well. That's a muad behavior. So therefore, it's considered as if there was a kavanah l'hazik on my part. As the Rashi writes, I said we do it outside, but actually I'm getting strange looks, so maybe I shouldn't.
So about the person who was injured?
Yeah. In other words...
So now you're putting the muad not on the...
No. It's my mistake. I apologize for trying to say it on my own. The reason why the Rashi is because he explained things better than I did. So let's just read source number three, the last two lines. Upashit lay, the last two lines, the middle line. Upashit lay, the Asim Karen Muedes. Rav answers that we learn it from Karen Muedes. The Kevan Shehein Muchanin Lumuade Rego. Maybe you'll read this differently. Since they are Muchan, which means they are prepared, they're ready. For Muad they Rego, those who are just walking in the street, either animals or people. Hare Hein Kemuadim Lahazik. It's as if they are to be expected to damage initially. That's a different question. Yes, but there's no kavan over here. Ahanu buhup the fact that I was poshe, the fact that I was negligent in leaving the water or the evan, the sakin, whatever it was in the street, and I didn't pick it up. So that is like kavan lahazik. That compensates for the fact that there's no kavan lahazik like we have by Karen. So what we're doing over here is we're creating a new type of damage, according to Rav, we're creating a new type of damage based on the model of Karen, and we're not concerned that by Karen there's a concept of Tam and Muad. That's specific to an animal. But over here, this is what's called Muad Mitzchila, and even though it's not Kavanas al Hazik, even though there's no intent on the part of the water in causing the damage, but the fact that I, the Bala Bor, the Bala Water, was poshe, I'm leaving it there, so that makes it like a Kavan al Hazik. Not other mamazik, certainly not other mamazik. Other mamazik is only direct contact. But
when you can't, I don't see where you can make a connection that the intent, according to the way Karen is understood, is of the damaging object.
Okay, good.
Now you're saying the intent is of the owner of the damaging object?
Right.
So that would mean if an owner had three oxes, the first two gored, then the third one.
Right.
Well,
that would be a little far out, but
that would be an extension of this concept.
Right.
The mindset of the owner is transferred onto the damaging
good
object.
Good. So
I
agree with you. And
I wanted to say,
yeah.
It's a little far fetched, but if we know that
that's okay. That's allowed here.
The owner of the car is a muad. Every time he just goes over there and he puts the car.
Well, that.
For the third time.
Oh, you know. In other words, you're saying that you're right. This had to have happened beforehand. So maybe far fetched, but the Bach says as well, like you do. It is far fetched because nobody else accepted. But the Bach, in his Perush al Tzur, actually writes that the payment over here would be chatzin as the first three times. But I didn't bring that in because it's so far fetched. But you did. So thank you. So what's bothering you is a legitimate concern. You know, you're not willing to just settle for that which the Rashba is writing over here, that, wait a second, after all, Karen, there is, once again, Kavan al-Hazik. You're talking, A, about an animal that moves, and that animal is displaying aggressive behavior. And now, Rav, you want to go ahead and just say a puddle on the ground is the same as that? Aye, but there's no Kavan al-Hazik, so Rav just wants to go ahead and say, well, since what? Since the owner left it there, it's like this Kavan al-Hazik. So that seems to be what the Rashba is saying. He's quoting the Ravid over here. Actually, he's answering the Ravid's question. But Tosfos did not accept that either. And Tosfos asked in source number 4, this is really a continuation of the Tosfos in source number 2. I just broke it up for the purpose of presentation. So Tosfos says the Intomar, and if you're going to say, Hey Chigomar Mishor, wait a second, how could you learn the situation that we're trying to learn right now? A puddle in the ground. How could you learn that from Shor? After all, you could say Malashor, Shechein Balchai. Number one, a Shor is living. And two, the Kavanot Olahazik. How could you? You can't just go ahead and say it's the same thing. So Mefaresh Rashbam, so Rashbam says no. The Osi Mibor Veshor Mimahatzad. What does that mean? Also, may bring us, for those of you here in the beginning, you may remember this, you may not. For those who are not, I'll try to explain very briefly that which we learned a while ago, and that is that to make things even more interesting, in order to create a new case of liability, we don't have to find an example that is identical to one of the others. What we can do is even what? Take a piece from each and merge, right? That's a good way of saying it. We come up with a situation, and we say, well, it seems like this. Aye, but this is different. But for that, we have this. Aye, but this is different. So for that, we have that. And the two of them come together and create this new case of liability. So Tosfos says, even according to Rav, who says over here that the puddle in the street, because I'm not mafkirit, is not bor, Rav doesn't mean to say that it's not bor at all. What Rav is saying is that we're learning it from a combination of bor and shor. What does that mean? So let's just talk this through. I have a puddle in the street. Rav says, if you mafkir it, that's bor mamish. That's bor. So then all the dinim of bor apply. But since I wasn't mafkir it, so it's my mamam. So what's happening over here? So it's like shor. But it's not like shor, because why? Shor is bachai, and it's kabanat alahazik. So then we say what? Bor yochiach. Take a look at bor, because bor is not bachai, and it's not kabanat alahazik, and the Torah still says yechayiv. But how could you learn from bor? In the case of bor, you mafkir it. Over here I'm not. Ah, so shor yochiach. And Shor and Bor come together and they create this new situation where I'm liable to pay for a situation where I have a Bor that I've not been mafkir. Again, Shmuel says this is mamish Bor, and that is a halacha, which may frustrate all of us over here that we're having such a lengthy conversation, but I hope not. This is very interesting, what's going to happen over here. But, in other words, halacha we paskin like Shmuel, that whether you are mafkir, the thing in the street is irrelevant. It's a Bor mamish. But Rav says, no, that bor is only when you declare it ownerless. So what is this? So Tosfos explains that according to Rav, it's a combination of bor and shor. And now, this also solves the first problem we had. Right? What was the first problem we had? Tamun mu? No. Not necessarily. Doesn't necessarily solve it. Tamun mu just directs a... We know, like you said, it's not Shane and Rego. So that leaves us with Karen. Aye, it's not Tam. So Tosfos says it's not Mu'ud. So Tosfos says there's no chiluk between Tam and Mu'ud by something which is inanimate. Aye, but how can we compare it to an animal which is alive and it has kavan al-hazik? So for that we say we're learning over here from what's called a mahatzad. There's a tzarashah there that we're learning from certain features of two different of his nezikin. And in this case, what Tosfos is suggesting in the name of Rashbam is that we're learning from a combination of bor and shor. Could you suggest that it's a combination of another one? Yes. But right now, Tosfos says bor and shor. Okay? Now, if we say it's born short, though, we've now created another problem. Because we may be back to where we started from. What's the problem with saying now that it's born short? What started this whole conversation in the first place? All the way back in the Gemara. The problem was that if we say it's bor, right, why did Rav have to come up with this fancy answer right in the Gemara? What was Shmuel's question against Rav? How could you say that it's bor? After all, you eat potter on Kalim. So he said, well, no, it's shor. So now we're saying it's not really shor. What it is shor and bor. But the bottom line is, if you're learning from bor, if part of your teaching is from what? Is from bor, so then you should be limited to the limitations of bor. And just as bor, you're not chayav to pay for damages caused to kalim, so to a bor and shor combination, you should be limited in the same way.
Unless you can make a case for saying that.
Before you make a case otherwise, let's just clarify the case against. Right? Just definitely could make a case, but you could, and it's not my question. I just want to see Tosfos himself ask and doesn't give an answer. About Kasha, says Tosfos. Keva de mi bor nami yolis, since you're learning it from bor, lift to rubahu kalim kibor. So then you should say you should be putter on kalim just like bor. But later on, in Arasugya, Rav says you chayiv on kalim. What is Tosfos' answer? Nothing. Tosfos don't have an answer. Tosfos says this is troublesome. That according to Rav, a situation where you have a bor in the street that you have not declared ownerless is learned from a combination of shor and bor. Sounds good, except that Tosfos, you should still be putter on kalim. But Rav says later on in such a situation, you're chayv on kalim, right? Hint for kalim. So Tosfos says, and even if you could learn out a new situation of liability from a combination, shouldn't you be limited? That's similar to a concept we've learned also with the word concept of dio. Who remembers dio? What does dial mean? Pretty good. Okay, good. Dial of omen adin liyos kenidam. That if you're learning, let's say, a kavachomer from a certain idea, you can't make the new din more chomer than the source itself, right? And that makes sense. It's pure logic. In other words, if you're learning, you know, from A, you're extrapolating from A and something to B. You can't make B greater than A itself. You're limited. That's the concept of dio. Enough. Dio means enough. So over here, fine, you want to tell me that you're chayiv to pay if I leave a puddle in the street, an animal comes and falls, a person falls on it and he ruins his clothing. You want to tell me I'm chayiv to pay? Fine, that makes sense. But just as in a regular board, there's an exemption of kalim, that exemption should apply here as well. But yet we see according to Rav, it doesn't. So now we're stuck. We're stuck. Now you want to say, not necessarily.
Because if you're learning it a combo from shor and bor, so you could make the kalim part have the chiyuv come from the shor part.
Right. So how do we do that?
I don't know why it should be difficult. It's very simple to do.
Right. So why didn't Tosfos say that?
So you can go call a chain or regal and leave out the part that.
So why didn't Tosfos say that?
Right.
You say just learn it from the short part.
Yeah.
No, that's not really true. You shouldn't be able to do that. Because what do we do when we do the matzad? What we're saying is, you know, there's a situation that comes up, and you're trying to say, can we make a case that Minatora, this person is liable for the damage which is caused? So you're saying, yeah, because it's similar to this. It's not really similar to that because of this. So the two together create I don't know, I'm pretty limited right now. I want to say something else. They create a case, a plausible argument, a Torah case, that the person should be liable because we find features of Hezek A and features of Hezek B, and they both can be found here, and therefore, the owner, the one who's responsible over here, should be chayiv. But still, in terms of when the parameters of that liability, so lechor, you should still be limited. By the very, in other words, if you take bor out of the picture, what are you left with? Left with nothing. So,
the thing is, you could say from shor is
that you're chayiv, but not that. How does the fact that this is like shor make him now chayiv to pay for kid?
We started off like this. Originally, you wanted to say it's Karen, right? You wanted to say it's Karen, but we said we couldn't say it's Karen because it doesn't fit neatly into the category.
Right.
Right? So then that's why you bring in Bar, right? So now you have a problem. You brought in Bar for a reason.
Right. Right?
Because you still needed that quality of Bar that doesn't have...
I understand, but why did we bring in Bar? We brought it in because this situation was not similar to Shor. So we said, okay, so it's similar to Shor and Bar combined. But now that we've created this new case of liability, now that we've created this new situation of the Shor-Bar combination, how could you make him chayv to pay in situations where you wouldn't be chayv to pay for Bar itself?
Because the chayv to pay won't come from
the Bar. It's coming from the Shor.
That's right. It doesn't
right.
come from the Bar. It comes from the Shor. Exactly. The Bar. Of course it works that way. Why doesn't it work that way?
Well, oh, that's interesting. Wait. Hold on one second. That's very interesting. I'm just wondering what he's saying to us. Think about that. He's saying that now, according to what you're saying, we should have been able. Can we now say, Bor? Can we now combine Bor with Shane and Regio? And I, your partner, Mrs. Robin.
But by his logic, maybe we can do that part of it.
No, Shane and Regio doesn't answer the question altogether because you have a combination of Shane. And you have a combination of Shane and Bor, or Regel and Bor, so you have two things that knock out the Kalim. You have if you combine Shane or Regel with Bor, you have two things that create a problem for you. You have, number one, Bor knocks out Kalim.
Yeah, but for that...
And you have Rishut HaRavim knocks it out altogether.
What do you mean all together? Each one covers the other.
Rishut HaRavim. No, it doesn't.
Exactly. Bor is chayv in Rishut HaRavim.
So, but not for Kalim. The case that we're talking about is Kalim in
Rishut HaRavim. So you're saying Kalim...
I'm saying Kalim is knocked out from Bor, and Rishut HaRavim knocks it out altogether. So you can't say what you want to say.
That's interesting.
No?
As opposed to
Shor, Karen, which allows you at least to say that
from one side
is chayv. And that's where you, that's where, in other words, what's stronger?
Okay.
The Karen is stronger,
fine.
Or the Bar is stronger?
Okay. Oh, so you're thinking good. Thinking very well. Probably we need another hour tonight. Yeah, anybody have anywhere to go? Brisk Rev. Wait till you see. I'm probably not gonna do it tonight. Wait till you see. The other side of the street is like honey. But I don't think we're going to get to that tonight. We'll see. Let's take a look at the rush. We're going to actually probably, ironically, and probably end up stop early tonight, only because I can't start the brisket up tonight, and we definitely can't finish it. So let's just take a look at the rush and show that we're not crazy. The rush shows that we're not crazy. What do you mean? So the rush is source number 5, and the rush writes to Maskinon. The conclusion is, now again, he's talking about a different sugya. What he's talking about? Before we read inside, I'll just remind you. It's something we learned a while ago, Daf Vav, but it's a very simple case. It's another exciting case. A guy's working on the roof. I've seen this, and every time I see it, I have the same thoughts to myself. Oh, Vav Akama Daf Vav. You watch people summertime, they're fixing roofs. You see the guy sitting on top, and he's got a whole sack on top of the roof. He's got this 50-pound bed sitting on top of a sloped roof, and he takes a break in the middle of the day. So what does he do? He walks inside, he goes down the house, and he leaves his bag right there. He looks at, and may not be so, but it looks from the street, it looks like a nice little wind could come along and what? Throw it on the ground below. So the Gemara discusses, what happens if I have an Eve and a Sak and a Masa, a package I leave on the roof, in a situation where a Ruach Mitzuya can come along and throw it down? So what happened in a situation where I do that and then a wind comes, knocks it over and hits someone on the head? So what's the din? Chayv, why? That's Eish, Mamash. Says the Gemara, that's a told of Eish. You don't have to come up with any fancy, that's Eish, Mamash. What happens, says the Gemara, if...
Is it still his property or is it not
be? Doesn't matter. Oh, well, if it's his property and you're trespassing, then that may be different. But if it's the Rishus HaNizak or Rishus HaRavim, it's not going to matter. Or if he was doing it in his property and it fell into the Rishus HaRavim, it's not going to matter.
What if it's in his property? No, it's his neighbor's property. Let's say different case, like with leaves. The tree is there in different property, tree is different property, and the wind comes and throws it on your property.
I don't remember. I don't know. The you have to look. There's like Mishnayos and Maisa Sheni and Bikurim that discuss these situations. Whether you follow the no for the tree, I don't remember. But I don't.
Not that they branches.
I know. I just don't remember.
It's not over your property.
I know. I just don't remember. The truth is, we learned this also previously from Davov. I don't remember. We discussed exactly this case, and Elon that had to be cut down.
Yeah, but that Elon is on a different property.
I understand. I don't know the answer. Let's just stick for the moment with this case. It's complicated enough. The evidence Takamas is on the roof, the wind knocks it off and hits somebody in the head, so AB's right, that's Aish. What about the following? Same beginning, I leave the package on the roof, a wind comes, again a gentle wind comes, knocks it down, and it lands on the ground. No one gets hurt. 5 minutes later somebody walks by, trips on it and gets hurt. So what is that? Is it Aish? No, it's not Aish. Why is it not Aish?
Because you didn't start it.
I did start. I left there in a situation where it needed to be watched, and it was, and it caused damage. But it's not Aish, because what does Aish do?
Travel.
Moves. One second. Is it Bor? It's not Bor. Why? Because when I create Bor, where do I... Bor is Tchilas Asiyoso in Ezek, and here this thing moves on its own. So, what is it? It's a combination of what? Bor and Aish. That's what the Gemara concludes. Says the Rush. Umaskinon. The Alfinon that we learn, Avno Sikino Masosha Nichon Baraj Rosh Gagal. I leave a package on the roof, the Naflu Rishis Rabba falls into the public thoroughfare. Baruach Matsuya with a gentle wind, the Hiziko busted the Naichi and it causes damage after it came to rest. Mibor Umeyesh. The Gemara says that's learned from a combination of Bor and Esh. That's not the Rush. Comes along the Rush and says, V'yesh Min HaGedolim. There are those among the great sages, Shekasu, who write, Lo mechayev ela mashachayev v'shnehem. You're only mechayev to pay for damages which you would have been mechayev to pay for both Aish and Bor. Therefore, says the Rush, according to this opinion, p'tirei minizkei kelim. You're not going to be mechayev to pay for kelim. Why? Because Bor, you're parted from kelim. Umi misas adam. And if a person dies, mechayev. Excuse me, a parted like by Bor. Umi tamun, and something which was damaged, something which may have been hidden. You're also going to be potter, come up the Aish. The cave on the Asu, the Mahatzad, since you're learning it from Mahatzad, Yahavin and Luhakal Shebishnayan. So we have to bring the coolest of both. The Yeshin is Tapku Badavar, says the Rush. There are those who don't know. The Linira, and now says the Rush, strange. He says, the Chol Din Bor Yeshlam. We treat it completely like a Bor. So it seems like there are three opinions in the Rush. One is, you can't be more strict than either one. In other words, you can only go like the coolest of both. The second opinion says that the Hiyashin is Tapku, I'm not sure. Says the Rush, I treat this like a Bor. In other words, he's not denying. The Gemara says we learn it from Bor and Aish, but he says I treat it like a Bor. Now this is something to chew on for the next week. Well, hold on one second. What is the Rush saying? In other words, the Gemara says we treat it like what? It's only learned from Bor and Aish. And the Rush can't deny that. Without Aish, you have no case over here. Because this is not a classic case of Bor. Bor is chilas asiyosu l'nezek. Bor again is I create a hazard and I walk away. Over here I did not create a hazard. Over here I left something in a place where a koach acher, another force, could come ahead and cause it to become hazardous. So without Aish, I have nothing here. But yet the Rush says, when all is said and done, we treat this like a Bor. Meaning you put it on Kerim, you put it on Mrs. Adam, but you can be chayiv on Tamar. And this is something that requires explanation. Why should that be? And you see obviously how this relates back to the question we're having, because we're struggling with the same point. You know, why would Rav say that you have to pay for Kalim? After all, it's learned from a combination of Bor and Shor. So using what seems to be happening over here, the way the Rush is saying over here, Rav seems to be saying by our case that it's really what? It's really short.
No, he has to say
sure. He's going to say it's really short, and that's why Yechayv on Kalim. Aye, but it's learned out a combination of a shore and Bor. He'll say, yeah, it is, but it's really short. So why would the Rush say over here this is really Bor? And why would Rav say over here it's really short if ultimately you need a combination of at least one of the others in Zeke in order to create a case of liability in this case?
Well, the concept I would guess would be that
Okay, so that's a good starting point, but what you obviously need to explain is more important.
Well, the more direct cause of accident, the cause of injury at the time of the accident. In other words, in the case of Naval, the person fell over the bundle that was in the street.
Right.
So the age, so that's the proximate cause of the injury.
Right. Right.
So the actual damage was caused by the bore feature
right.
of the particular tachola, but the age feature is only to explain why it was not chilas on the head.
Okay, very good.
And that same, so you have to, so I guess somehow that would be used that same philosophy in our case.
Right, well, let's just even
you couldn't use the same philosophy.
It would not be as easy.
Because
in our case
has a part A and a part B. In our case, doesn't have something that starts off with...
And not only that, the guy ultimately tripped over it. You know, it wasn't moving like an animal is. You know, it's definitely easier in this case. Well, you did make a very good point. And it's only one piece of the puzzle, but you made a very important point, and that is that it's easy to understand why the Rush says... Well, it's easy. We can begin to understand why the Rush says this is really poor, because the manner in which the damage came about was very much like a boar case. In other words, if you didn't see the beginning of the story and you just saw this package on the street, you would say right away, that's bore. You didn't realize that it was first on the roof and had to fall off. So that's why we need to introduce the age element in order to create liability. But really, the damage was really like a bore. And therefore, says the Rush, I'm comfortable saying that we'll apply the dinim of bore and not the dinim of age. But that point alone still requires greater explanation. Yeah?
Back to what I said before. What would the Rush say if it weren't a heavy package? There are leaves. I mean, there's a tree on the my property, and the leaves blow out. Let's say to the street, goes to some other property, and some person that passes by and he falls over the leaves. So he hurts it. Who's responsibility?
I think it's an onus in that case. In other words, if I have a knife and I put the knife in my drawer, and then an unpredictable sort of force comes, a tornado comes, takes it out of the room, throws it in the street, somebody falls, I'm not chayav my knife, because that's an onus. Over here, if I can't, again, if right, but even if it wasn't, but even if it wasn't, let's say I had a tree, a very high tree, and there were branches that it was not considered to be dangerous per se, but occasionally a wind comes and knocks the branch off. So somebody's walking in the street and he gets hit. This happens. A branch falls off the street. So who's chayav to pay? No one. Why? Because no one did anything wrong. So you always have to stop before you say, who's have a chayav to pay, and say, did anybody do anything here? The only time we say we don't care about the negligence factor is when it comes to other mamazik. When it comes to other mamazik, we don't care whether you were thinking or not. You're chayav to pay either way. When it comes to my property, so you have to, there has to be some negligence. So the situation you described, I don't think there was any. Okay, so next week we will see the Brisker Rav who will explain some of the questions that we have yet to answer. As I said last week, I think it would be very kedai to continue your chazar. Okay. Thanks for sticking around. You're a big tzaddik.
Thank you for
such a nice guy. He came to hear on a Feldman. And he couldn't.
I had a good trade.
And he couldn't walk out on me. What a trade!
Gotta get my wheels going.
No, but you're a good man.
No,
okay.
Terrific. It's a tough command. I have to give a shit like that. You know.
Everybody enjoy it. My God, it's the best.
Yeah.
We usually have a few more. I don't know, man. I don't know.
You know, to keep the hot cup, and that, you know, each time, I mean, you do a good job explaining it. To come back and to think,
yeah.
You know. Just to kind of set the stage again,
right.
And you're not dealing with, you know.
Some sugars are easier than this. I mean, sometimes we have more participation because
we have more participation also. You just have a good way of handling. One hand you need to keep the focus in terms of what you want to do, and the other hand you want to.
You got a lot of people talk.
Right.
Yeah.
It's always delicate balance.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Good. I enjoy it.
Thank you.
It's good to have a good share.
Good to see you.
I got my curiosity put in with
it. This one's a beautiful piece.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful piece. You're welcome to take the sheet. I won't charge you. I switched last year. I switched to Y&J, which is, I cannot stop this. Everything that we're talking about is recorded here. Not that I have any problem with it.
I don't want to talk about my funeral arrangement, man.
Oh, this is some, that's the problem. Yeah, sure.
Also.
Yeah.
Good group of people there.